Hi, everybody. I'm Billy Morgan. Welcome to this edition of the Harding Sports Network podcast. Today, I'll be joined by Harding University Assistant Athletic Director for Sports Information, Scott Goode. We will look back to the opening game of the 2015 football season when the Bisons traveled to Shawnee for their very first time to play brand-new Great American Conference member Oklahoma Baptist. We will also visit with Harding University Transportation Officer Jeremy Sivia. But first, here's Scott Goode with a look back at last week's results and a preview of the upcoming Harding sports schedule.
Thanks, Billy. It was a big week for Harding sports, and it started Tuesday with sophomore golfer Leo Masiak winning the NSU Men's Golf Classic in Muskogee, Oklahoma. It was Harding's second straight individual championship after Sam Tandy won just the week before. Harding volleyball won twice last week with a 3-0 victory over Ouachita Baptist before a boisterous crowd at the Rhodes Reeves Fieldhouse. Then on Thursday, the Lady Bisons downed Henderson State 3-1 on the road. Harding had several outstanding performances by the women's tennis team at the GAC Individual Championships in Russellville. Allison and Lindy Carpenter teamed to win Flight 1 doubles. Emily Carpenter was the Flight 3 singles champ, and Allison Carpenter won Flight 6 singles. Flight runners-up included Grace Dodd, Roman Britt, Jingjing Yang, and Rachel McCray. The week closed with the Harding football team's 38-21 victory over 8th-ranked Ouachita Baptist before an overflow crowd at First Security Stadium. The Bisons rushed for more than 400 yards against Ouachita for the first time in the 62 meetings between the teams. Harding had more than 40 minutes of possession in the game, holding Ouachita to only 40 offensive plays, only the third time in Harding's NCAA era to hold an opponent to 40 plays or fewer. This week, the men's golf team opens play at the MSSU Fall Invitational in Joplin, Missouri. Volleyball hosts Arkansas Monticello Tuesday and travels to Arkansas Tech on Thursday. Women's soccer plays Thursday at Oklahoma Baptist and Saturday at Southern Nazarene. And men's soccer plays Thursday at Newman and Saturday at Fort Hays State. The cross-country teams run Saturday at the Chili Pepper Festival in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and the Harding football team travels to Shawnee to take on Oklahoma Baptist at 2 o'clock.
Here we go. Snap is down. Kick is up. Kick is blocked. Bisons block the kick. Park Parrish up under center. Parrish takes toss for Shelley. Here's Shelley looking inside. Shelley diving. Touchdown, Harding. Zach Shelley has tied the football game at 19. Here's the snap. It is a good one. Placement is down. The kick is up, and the kick is good. Harding wins in overtime, 20-19. And the Bisons win it in overtime. Boy, you got to give Cordell Zielinski all the credit in the world for blocking the field goal that might have won it in regulation for Oklahoma Baptist. Park Parrish, a lot of credit in orchestrating that last drive in which the Bisons went right down the field and scored, and then the extra point by Parsley to win. September 5th, 2015 came down to who could make an extra point in overtime. Oklahoma Baptist missed its attempt, and Harding's Tristan Parsley made his to give Harding a 20-19 victory. The teams combined to miss three extra points and four field goals. Three of the four field goals were blocked, including Cordell Zielinski blocking the potential game winner at the end of the fourth quarter that forced overtime. The win was the 50th for Harding head coach Ronnie Huckabee. And boy, Scott Goode, the first trip for the Bisons to Shawnee was a memorable one.
Yeah, Coach Huckabee really earned that one. I don't think the team was very happy for the most part with the way they played that day. I went back and looked at the statistics earlier and rushed for, you know, over 200 yards, but that's not a great day for Harding's offense, you know, in the flex bone. Andrew Dather had three catches at wide receiver for 108 yards, and I remember a couple of those were big plays to keep drives going. But it was one of those days where, you know, you just had to gut it out, even though you didn't have your best effort and still found a way to win. What I remember most about that day, Billy, is where you watched the game from. My best recollection of that was that Billy broadcast the game on radio from about 50 yards away from the field in one corner of the end zone in Oklahoma Baptist's track and field timing building. He was about 12 feet off the ground, and I was up there for a few minutes, and you couldn't see anything past about the 30-yard line on the near side. And so I'm not sure how that might have been the best game you ever broadcast, just because nobody knew exactly where you were trying to do it from.
Well, I'll tell you how I actually broadcast the game was looking at the live stats and looking at if it was an 11-yard gain or a 15-yard gain. I had no idea. From where I was sitting, it could have been a 3-yard gain. And it was not a great spot to watch the football game. It was the first time that any of us from the Great American Conference had been to Shawnee for a football game. So I've told my friends throughout the league what to get ready for. It was the only year that we sat in that corner, yeah. But everybody went to Shawnee that year and sat in that corner to watch the football game. And I do remember being able to see the football game end on that that extra point. It ended on an extra point.
Yeah.
At least I was on the opposite end of that, so I had a good look at that. I could see that it was good. Yeah. When you go back and look at the football game, though, something that maybe gets forgotten is the Bisons were up 13-0 at halftime.
Yeah, and missed that extra point right before going into halftime would have made it 14-0 and then might have eliminated the need for overtime later on.
Zach Shelley scored the Harding touchdown in overtime, and then that was a 4-play, 25-yard drive. And I think the first trip to Shawnee, obviously, there was a lot of fanfare there because it was their first game, not only in the Great American Conference, it was their first game in the NCAA.
Yeah, absolutely. The place was pretty full that day. I think the weather was good. It was windy, if I remember right. And the other thing I remember about that the area where you were sitting was they had plenty of pizza up there, and I know all of the broadcasters were enjoying that.
That was the only reason I saw Scott Goode throughout that game was because that's where the food was.
Right.
Scott watched the game at a different spot. Right.
I was in a very very packed press box, and the only way if I was going to get lunch, I had to come visit you at halftime.
And now we go there this week when the Bisons take on Oklahoma Baptist. Now we will be sitting on top of the press box,
right. And
so we have a much better view, but we are outside when we go there this year, so you better bring your jacket.
We're hoping for winds that are less than 20 miles per hour, because it can get a little scary up there if the wind is blowing really hard.
One other tidbit from that game, it was the first time the Bisons had played a game at 11 a.m.
Yeah, they kicked it off really early, and I'm still not sure that we know what that was all about. Maybe some other kind of scheduling on campus that day, but at least on Saturday it will be a 2:00 kickoff.
We are delighted to be joined now on the Harding Sports Network podcast by Harding University Transportation Officer Jeremy Sivia. Jeremy, we see you at Bison sporting events all over the country, driving thousands of miles each year with the teams. How long have you been traveling for the university, and how many miles do you think you have covered over the years?
Well, thanks for having me, Billy. I'm delighted to be here. I actually have been doing this for 16 years now, and overall, I can keep track because I knew how many miles were on the old bus when I started. And so far, I've driven probably 550,000 miles.
You mentioned the old bus, and now the university has a new bus as well. So now two of the larger buses. How helpful is that going to be for travel?
Yeah, so before COVID hit, we were actually kind of in talks about getting a new bus at that time, just because we've grown to a point where it'd be really nice to not have the soccer coaches drive to Oklahoma, you know, and have to drive back after a late game. And also because, you know, with football, we charter a bus every time they go on a road trip. And so just the money savings by not having to charter a bus, and then the ability to not have coaches drive as much. I just feel like with safety and cost savings, it's been a huge blessing. And so we got this new bus. I kind of as things started opening up again after COVID, there were several charter bus companies that went out of business. And so this bus was just sitting on a lot in California, and I talked to a salesman with Prevo, which is the manufacturer of the bus, and they had a couple of these buses that were a couple years old and had like 250,000 miles on them, and we got a great deal on it. And so I flew out there over spring break in March and drove back with it, and we've been using it ever since.
Now, you mentioned you've been doing this for 16 years. How did you get started in this role?
Okay, so I was actually working at the Carmichael Center, and that's the Carmichael Center is where you go to take your driver's test. And the state trooper that gives the driver's test came down to my office one day and said, "Hey, is the bus driver for Harding, is he retiring or something?" And I didn't know at the time. He said, "Well, someone just came in and took their CDL test and said he was going to apply for that job." And I have no idea who that was, and I kind of feel bad for him now. But but I went home and talked to my wife about it, and I started driving a school bus when I was in college, when I was a freshman in college. And so I already had my CDL, and it sounded like something that I would like to do. And so I looked into it, and it was kind of funny. I talked to Mr. Rice about it, and he made it sound, you know, Mr. Rice is he's a legend. He drove for 31 years for the university, and when I had talked to him about it, he said, I mean, he made it sound like that he was on the road all the time, 365 days a year. And it turns out it's kind of in between there. So after talking about it with my wife, we decided that it might be a good option. So I applied for it, and they chose me, and it's been great. I love this job, and it's been really good for us.
Now, it's not just sporting events that you travel on as well. Tell us about some of the other events that you go to, because I know that you do take a lot of our students to a lot of different functions.
Yeah, so that's actually grown over the years. When I started, Mr. Rice had always taken a couple of chorus trips. You know, there's there's a university chorus and a choir, and then the academy chorus. And so those go on a week-long trip every year. And then we have there's an art trip to Chicago that happens every year with the university. And then every other year, the Academy Art Department also goes to Chicago. And then like in the summers, I do things like Upward Bound. They go on a week-long trip, and I take Honor Symposium to Float the River in the summers, and trying to not leave anybody out. I don't want anybody to get mad at me. The theater department, they also they've started a few years ago. They take trips to Memphis and Little Rock to see big shows. And that's actually been great because I've been able to go see The Lion King and, you know, some of those really cool plays. I've been able to join them with.
And it's not just driving the students and the coaches around the country, but just tell us what goes into preparing for trips.
So basically, I do as much of the maintenance as I can do. So that includes, you know, changing light bulbs, headlights. So also change the belts when they need to be changed. And then you know, the worst part of my job, as I tell everybody, is I have to clean and dump the restroom. And so we have a restroom dump where I park the bus, and that is by far my least favorite part of the job.
Well, we know what is your least favorite part of the job. What about your favorite part of doing this job?
Yeah, you know, people ask me all the time what my favorite trip is. There's not a trip that I just despise taking. I mean, being at Harding, I'll talk to bus drivers who drive for other groups all the time. And every time I talk to them, they're like, man, you know, it doesn't matter if we're on a chorus trip. It doesn't matter if we're on a football trip. They're like, man, these Harding students are just different than everyone else and the coaches. And so there's not a trip that I don't like taking. But I think Mr. Jones over at the Academy would probably get mad at me if I didn't say that the Academy chorus trip is one of my favorites. And it is. It's basically, you know, I go and we kind of joke around, and it's kind of like I act like a high school student for that week. You know, other than getting the students where we go safely, we just have a lot of fun on that trip. Coach Gardner over at the Academy goes with us, and we just have a lot of fun with the students, and we get to usually do some really cool things, go to baseball games, go to, you know, the Basketball Hall of Fame or Football Hall of Fame, stuff like that. And so that's one of my favorites. just, you know, not to single out any specific sport, but basketball has always been my first love as far as sports go. So I love traveling with Coach Morgan and the men's basketball team, or Coach Kirby and the women's basketball team. There's just so many good memories when I think back over the years of, you know, Reggie Bibb hitting the shot in the Gulf South Conference Tournament, you know, beating Christian Brothers over there, and the Great Eight, you know, winning the GAC championship that year. It's just so many good memories like that.
You talked about those great memories with those basketball teams. The relationships, I know, are important to you with the athletes, with all the students that you see, with the coaches, with people like Scott and me that sometimes jump on the bus and go with you as well. I know that you always greet everybody with a smile.
Yeah, the relationship part is really one of my favorite parts. I mean, I get to see, like you mentioned before, I get to see people from all over the campus. You know, I'm taking the choruses places. I'm taking all the athletes places. And so, you know, there's people like Hayden Johnson and Weston Jamison that we just kind of have lifelong friendships now. And I keep up with them, you know, even though they haven't played in many years. And just the talks that I've had with Coach Morgan, Coach Harris with the soccer team. And we've just had some great talks over the years on the bus at 12 o'clock at night or 1 o'clock in the morning when we're coming home. I think they're probably just making sure I'm awake, but we've had some good talks on the way home.
Scott and I often say life on the road isn't easy. Are there any stories that you can tell us about that really stick out at you that were very difficult?
I think one of those stories might have involved us a little bit, Billy.
Yes. So unfortunately, when you're driving any kind of vehicle, they can break down at any time. And one time we were at Ouachita Baptist playing basketball, and I remember turning on the bus, and it made a little different sound than it normally makes. And so I kind of went back there and checked everything, and I couldn't find anything that was wrong. And so we took off, and we're driving towards the interstate, and Scott and Billy happen to be behind us, and he calls me, and Scott says, there's some sound coming from the bus. It sounds like a Apache helicopter or something. And I could actually hear that, you know, already, because it was pretty loud. And so we pulled over in a gas station parking lot, and I turned the bus off and went back there and tried to figure out what was wrong with it. Well, I tried to start it again, and nothing happened. And so turns out a piece of the starter had broken off and basically caused a bunch of damage in the engine without going into too many specifics. And so we got to we called Wayne Westerholm. He sent us a minibus down to take the group back. But while we were waiting those 2 hours, we got to spend lots of time. I can't remember the name of the restaurant, but we were in a Mexican restaurant for a few hours.
I do remember that, because I remember asking Scott, "What's that sound?" And he said, "I think it's our bus."
Yeah, it was. We were right behind you, and usually we're separate. You usually get out of there before we do, and but just that night, I think it happened to be where we were right behind you, and got to see the whole show.
Now, with joking about that, Scott and I have traveled with Jeremy so many times, and I promise you, when we get on that bus with Jeremy Sivia, we know that we're in very safe hands, and love traveling with Jeremy all over the country. Jeremy, do you have another story for us?
I actually do. That was one of the two times that the bus has had to be towed somewhere to get fixed. And, you know, like we talked about at the first of this, I've driven over 500,000 miles. And I think when you're talking about those many miles, that many miles, you know, things are going to go wrong with mechanical things. And so thankfully, this was, I think, my first summer driving. And it was a trip that that Dr. Finley from the education department would take in the summer. And it was actually one of my favorite trips, because we got to go to Yellowstone. We got to see a whole bunch of stuff out west. And Mr. Rice's wife, she would always go with him on that trip when he drove it, because she's a nurse. And so she would be the nurse on the trip. And so he happened to be on the trip that time. And I was fueling up one night, and I'm smelling diesel. I'm like, you know, that doesn't smell right. And so I go back there, and sure enough, there's just diesel pouring out of the engine. And So I get back to the hotel and call Mr. Rice out there. He comes and helps me look at it, and I'm pretty new at this point, so it was really great to have him there. And he's like, we looked at it for a while. He's like, well, we can't drive it anywhere because the diesel is dripping on the starter, and we don't want that. And so we called a tow company and towed it into to a bigger town in South Dakota. They were able to get us in and out within a day. So that group got to spend an extra day in South Dakota. But really overall, I mean, when you think about the number of miles that I drive, then these buses, you know, they're gonna have times when they break down. But one of the advantages, I think, to just having one or two people drive the bus is that I can tell when things don't sound right. And so we do a lot of work on the front end, you know, and just making sure that nothing can go wrong that we can take care of before it goes wrong. And kind of while we're on that subject, you know, we have two buses now, and we've hired Jay Jamison to be the second bus driver. And he, you know, people will know that name because of Weston Jamison and Trey Jamison. And I guess we probably should not leave out Hannah. he's been driving tour buses for many years. He started back in Texas when he was coaching down there. And so it's been great to have him here. And so he'll drive with me when we have two buses going with football, or he's, you know, last week he took soccer to Oklahoma. And so it's been great to have him here. He's a great guy, and I've kind of joked with a lot of people that I'm afraid the coaches are going to like him better than me. I hope that doesn't happen. But
I've ridden to games with both Billy and Jeremy, and I won't say exactly which one that I feel more comfortable riding with, but I think you might already know that.
Sorry, Jeremy. I think we all know that he feels much more comfortable with Jeremy Sivian.
He follows the speed limits better.
And we do appreciate all the trips that we get to take with Jeremy. Now here's the fast five questions for Jeremy Sivian with Scott Goode.
All right, Jeremy. Are you a morning person or a night person? On a bus, you'd better be both.
I'm actually more of a night person, which I guess is good because, you know, I consider 2 o'clock in the morning probably still part of the nighttime.
Yes.
And so I really don't have a problem staying up late. In my younger days, I loved to sleep in till 8 or 9 o'clock. I can't remember the last time I've done that. But
any tips for staying awake at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning?
Well, I've actually had that question all the time from people, and I used to drink Mountain Dew because it has a lot of caffeine in it. But this year, one of my daughters and I have decided not to drink any caffeinated beverages. So I've just been drinking water and go with beef jerky or sunflower seeds, something to chew on. And usually there's someone awake on the bus that'll pick their head up there and they'll be like, Jeremy, are you okay? And I almost always say yes.
All right. So if you could turn the bus into a time machine, where would you go and why?
Well, if you know me very well, you know I'm a huge Michael Jordan fan.
Yeah.
And so I think that I would choose to go back and see him play in person, you know, maybe even like in Boston Garden in the playoffs when he scored the 63 points. I think that's probably what I would choose.
Yeah, you could pick a game that you knew he was going to do really
right.
well.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What television sitcom family would you be a member of?
Well, I'm not sure if it's okay to go this way. This one doesn't really have families, but I am a huge Office fan.
Okay.
And
yeah.
So could I maybe just go be a part of The Office?
Absolutely.
And, I just think that show is so well written and funny. And so,
if you were a superhero, what would your powers be?
I think I would go with flying, I think, maybe like Superman.
That's ironic.
I remember a trip many years ago that I think my wife went with me to Chicago and on a university trip, and it takes nine and a half hours to get to Chicago, you know, and then we have to drive back. And not too long after that, she had a work trip that went to Chicago, and she flew up there from Little Rock and flew back and was home like by dinner time. And so I think I would go with that.
Yeah. I think I read my kids a storybook called like The Magic School Bus where it could fly like that. So, all right. If you could go anywhere in the world, where would you go and why?
That's a tough one.
If you could drive across the ocean, yeah, that might be helpful.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go with, when I was in college, one of my big regrets here at Harding was not going on one of the overseas trips.
Yeah.
And if I was going to pick one then, it was going to be to Australia, yeah. Hua. I just love that area. My sister actually went there a couple years ago and was telling me about it. And so I think it'd be going to the outback in Australia.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks, Jeremy. We appreciate all you do and always greeting us with a smile on the road. That's all for this edition of the Harding Sports Network podcast. Special thanks to Nathan Looney, Mark Pryor, Dave Robison, Scott Goode, and today's guest, Jeremy Sivia. From the Reynolds Center on the campus of Harding University, I'm Billy Morgan. So long, everybody.